Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Nick DeLore, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorilla?
I like the lid.
Oh, this whole thing?
It's fresh looking.
Mr. Kaz at Threadworks made it for Elvie. I actually stole it. It says Elvis.
I see that.
So I'm rocking it today.
You're rocking the orange, too.
I didn't
think you're a big fan of the orange.
I'm not as big of a fan as you are of orange. But it's got my son's name on it.
So yeah, it looks pretty cool.
He thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Kaz is pretty good at that stuff,
yes,
man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
pretty
is.
Pretty good.
You recover from the game the other night?
Our game, it's hard to recover when you're as bad as I was. I had a tough game. I will say
focused.
This. I was focused. I will say this, though. Your stick handling, like, man, actually, I can't say that
That's
about you. You should say it about me, because I couldn't handle anything. And
mismanaging
you had,
the puck right
you,
there.
You had 4 G's, I think.
Yeah, it was
the
on
other
fire.
Night. Got one real quick thing. Zingo, let's go.
You Zingo, can't be you better missing be games. At our next game.
JD, you either. All right, anyway.
Yeah, we could have used a little offensive firepower.
Boys, Riles was screaming at me. Move your leg. I couldn't concentrate. I thought fucking Iron Mike was behind the bench there yelling at me. No, I'm kidding. I was awful.
Making plays stand still, Nasty. You've been around the hockey long enough and been on the bench long enough.
I think I was trying to move my feet. It's just the mitts were as bad as they are. They were worse. And I finally scored. I hadn't scored in a while. I scored. I didn't count it. They thought it hit the post, and it went in.
Yeah, well, and it happens.
That thing had
eyes. We couldn't go up to Toronto. And
no, we definitely could not do that. You can't do that. So, anyway.
Anyways.
It's fun.
Good effort.
Yep.
We were in the game, and we'll have to bounce back and get them next week.
This Sunday.
All right. Flyers hockey. What do we got, Nass?
Yeah, we got them 4-2. I think like to have seen 5-1, to be honest with you. I think they had a little bit of – fatigue probably set in Sunday with their second, the back-to-back. They played Nashville, played a really good game, won 3-1. Bees Nuts, our boy, he had 3 points. Hazy got his first.
Yep.
And then, had a tough game against San Jose. A couple of boys benched.
Yeah. Yeah, Torts doing his thing, sending a message.
Yep.
It happens.
Yeah, it does.
We talked a little bit about this, whether it was – maybe a little bit over aggressive, benching them for the full 20, But I think, you know, towards his track record, it's not a short-term play, his message sending. It's more for the long term. So understanding that, you know, maybe could have used a couple of those guys on the ice to maybe potentially contribute. But again, I think it's more about the long term, you know, building the foundation of accountability for the rest of the guys to see.
When those young kids see that he's going to sit a guy like Hazy and TK, who are, you know, obviously the hottest players on your team, and they've been playing really well too. Bad thing from that game is JVR hurt.
It's a tough loss.
They're saying he's out a month, probably surgery. So I hate to hear that. Get well, JVR. So other than that, it's still been a better start than I think a lot of people thought.
Yeah, 100%. You know, they're obviously trending in the right way. They're scooping up wins, and I think the identity's there. The work is there. Obviously, there's a lot to work on, and you know, I think towards the system, obviously taking care of the D zone and limiting those grade A opportunities, and you know, Carter Hart's
he's been
amazing. I think the system that they're playing helps support him a little bit better than maybe in the past. But I don't think any Flyers fans expected this type of start. And the energy is there. I think what the fans really hold on to and gravitate towards is there. Is the essence, right? I mean, I would say it's Flyers hockey, some Tillies.
Yep.
You know, the grunt work, the emotion. So, I mean, could it be better? Yeah. Well, you could always be better. But
right.
I think the substance is there, foundation is there. So nice to see.
You're right, Riles. And I also wanted to mention too that Nashville game. I thought big Zach McEwen, he had a great game and
a big
goal there, and he's working his ass off.
Yeah,
and not like we didn't think he would, but it's nice to see. You know, he had unfortunately was sent down, but he came up, and I feel like he's made a difference since he's
he was wheeling,
you know,
on the forecheck, so nice little play. Yeah,
to see him rewarded with a goal. You know, he's worked his butt off, like I said. So
100%. Yeah, boys are trending. So looking forward to seeing this Thursday in Florida. Should be a good test for sure. Yeah, and we're on a little bit of a road trip tomorrow, Nass. You and
we are with Tovey Hockey.
Yeah,
headed down to Washington to see the Capitals. Taking a bunch of twigs with us to some guys interested in trying them, and I can't wait to get the feedback and see their reaction to the stick, because I think it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Once we get a guy that's going to use this thing and they feel it. Gonna make a difference.
I think so too. Yeah, it'd be nice to get in front of the squad, see Lavi.
Gotta talk to Lavi. I got a couple pills for him. See what
jack
he thinks.
Him all up.
Jack him right up.
Yeah, hopefully we can get one of those bad boys into Obi's hands.
Yeah,
maybe he can score 60 this year. Who knows?
I think he would. I think he's gonna have a look at a couple of them.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Nast. I think we're ready to rock here.
Let's do it.
Episode 91.
Wow.
Presented to you by DLI Commercial. Good friends at DLI Commercial. Check them out at DLICommercial.com for all your commercial construction needs nationally, not just locally here in Philly area. Check them out. I think we're ready to rock. Let's go, Nass.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we are so happy to have big number 44, free agent signing this summer for the Flyers, Mr. Nick DeLaurier. What's up, brother?
How's it going? Thanks for having me, boys.
Oh, man. We're pleased to have you. Couldn't wait to get you here, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming alive, man. I've been chasing you around a little bit.
Yeah.
Busy life, busy schedule, but carving out some time. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so what's it been like? I mean, fresh in Philly here. You guys are six games deep. I mean, talk about the signing. Let's talk about that. You know, start there. And
yeah, no, that was first time going UFA. It's kind of how I thought it was going to be, but more nerve-wracking. You know, it's kind of, our role is disappearing. Obviously, I'm not saying my role is the same as you. You were way tougher than me.
I don't know
but
about that.
It's disappearing, and I thought going on the 13th, that, my agent was like, there's a lot of teams. I was like, we'll see, Then 13 hits, and I get two offers within a minute, and it keeps going. So I was like, I am in demand. So it kind of triggers you a little bit. But the way I treated it, I'm a big family guy. I really, thanks to technology, every offers I had that were decent, my first thing was school district for my kids, just seeing. And, it turned out, I think I the thing that I respect about Chuck as well is, he didn't force me to sign it. I think I got the offer at like 12:20. I only signed it at 4:20. Wow. Like, I really took my time, you know, put the kids to bed for a nap and trying to just sit with my wife and be like, what do we think here? You know, obviously a lot of rumors of me going back to Anaheim with giving me the opportunity of going to play in the playoffs with Minnie. And I told my wife, I was like, you know, I feel like California, I've done it. I want something new. And obviously, like I said, Family Guy, 8-hour drive from home. So kind of see grandpa, grandma a lot for the kids. It was huge. But, you know, the organization was kind of fitting me. And like, I like to be kind of suiting myself with the city. You know,
yeah.
Blue collar kind of type of team and a younger team. And I've been in that role my whole career. So I think trying to bring something, you know, obviously I don't have a cup. I don't have a lot of experience in the playoffs. But trying to bring that that mindset of, you know, you gotta work your ass off. You know,
right.
Nothing's been given to you. You have to work. And, you know, it was a really big eye opener for me going to Mini. It was so old, how mature everybody is and how all the decisions is not even upper staff or coaches, only us. Compared to now, like, yes, we need some guidance. We're young and everything. So I think that fit was good. And obviously when I signed, we came here, I think, the week after and started visiting houses. And that's when, you know, we kind of cut it off to where we want the kids to go to school. And no, I'm happy so far. It's been good.
It's been great. And it's funny you say that. We talked about this when that whole thing was going on and you know, the free agent frenzy. And you were definitely in demand. And we were actually shocked at the trading deadline. Now, I know they were giving you a shot, but we were like, man, I can't understand why they would trade you, because you were very important for their team.
It was a weird one. We had that long trip just before trade deadline. All the New York teams. And it started just before that. You know, I had a good chat with Pat Verbeek, and he told me, you know, like, we might trade you. So, obviously, when you hear that, you're going on an 8-day trip. I was in the plane with 3 suitcases just ready, you know. And, you know, the thing that helped me on that trade, too, was me and my wife kind of agreed on, like, this is happening. So, the checkout was already done. And then a week after, he's like, oh, no, I'm not trading you. So I'm like,
wow.
What's happening?
A little curveball.
And then I think I got traded the day before the trade deadline came up. He's like, just after practice, let me practice and everything. He's like, yeah, I think. And he asked me, he's like, where do you want to go? You know, I have some good spots. And Minnie was not in there, to be honest with you. And I ended up going there, and it was the best thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, I remember us on the show just saying, wow. Like, I just.
Yeah, there was kind of a, not a side deal. It was more of a, you know, give me the opportunity. I'm going to trade you and I'll sign you. And obviously, business is business. You know, 100%. When you come free agency, you look at your options and look at things. But, you know, I liked it down there. You know, it's kind of similar a bit here, you know, younger team. But, you know, I like more the grit that we have here compared to down there, that's for sure.
Yeah, you were definitely a Philly style player. Right.
We were pumped, man. We signed, man.
Yeah, we were pretty jacked, and not just the fighting, just the way you play the game. You play hard. You could skate, and you're a team guy, and it's you just fit right into this place, and it's great. Yeah, you got a 4-year deal, man.
Yeah,
good for you.
Got you for 4 years here, so maybe more.
Yeah, I was surprised myself too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're like the modern day, you know, like the modern day tough guy, man. You know, you're tough as nails. I mean, you're throw you up there as, you know, top 3 guy in the league, and you skate. I mean, the fact that you were an offensive defenseman back in the day, you know, is pretty amazing. So, I mean, you fit the mold, you fit Philly, and then obviously Torts' style, right? I mean, you compliment his philosophy, as well as most coaches have a hardworking philosophy, but the young guys you mentioned, right? I mean, I think you're just a good catalyst. So
yeah, no, I think it's just trying to change the mindset of the new generation. It's
different.
Like, I've worked my ass off to be where I'm at. You know, I think I played maybe 6 years without PK. It was 3-4 minutes, and it took me a long time to kind of manage when to fight. You know, how back in the days was you can fight, you know, fight 2-3 times a game. It's fun. Now you have to kind of manage. That's what, like, my first couple of years, obviously being a D-man, I didn't know much. I didn't fight junior. I didn't fight American League. And
I was going to ask you that.
With my size, you know, my first pro fight in the A was against Ryan Ulweig.
No shit, hey?
Wow.
I didn't do well, but I didn't do bad. So I was like, okay. And then I got traded from Manch to Buffalo, and obviously put me right on the left side between John Scott and Zenon Kanapka.
Yeah, right.
So he kind of
take a hint. Take a hint.
Yeah. Rolled that, and then I fought Brendan Prust. That he's a really
technical fighter. Guy. Yeah,
yeah.
And I did well there, and kind of got the itch, and you know, got to put some bread on the table for the family. That's what brought me there. But it took me a while though, like to gauge when to do it, when not to do it. Because now hockey is all about momentum change.
Yeah, sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Hit, you get a good hit, it's a momentum changer.
Yeah.
You get a good fight, it is. But it could go both ways. So like that's the thing that I had to teach myself. And obviously, the league is getting so fast. Like every summer, I used to work out trying to be 225, 230, strongman workout, you know, farmer walk.
Yeah.
Now I don't do that anymore. I try to maintain the strength, but I do power skating.
Yeah.
I never thought at 31 this summer spend 20 hours doing power skating, but that's what I need. The league is like this now, but it's been a weird track for me for sure, but you know, I enjoy it. I wish I could fight more, but you know, sometimes you don't get buyers. But I think the mindset that I have that helps me is that I don't think I'm the toughest guy in the league. I'm just not scared.
Yeah,
right.
The thing that brought me the success I've had.
Right. Kind of reminds me of myself and men's league.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But no, but you're in a position, you know, and I wish I would have been able to be in that position where it's like you're able to just kind of be yourself and the fights will present themselves. You know, you don't have to even think about it, really.
Yeah. It's really different. It's more on your terms.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Obviously, fighting a lot, I think the last 3 years, I think I had 14, 12, and 10.
Yeah.
Back in the days, 14 was a regular season kind of fighting year.
Yeah,
now it's a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
I kind of got that respect from others, and now it's like picking and choosing who I can fight. Obviously I'll fight more the same kind of guys, but it's a mindset. It's a different mindset, you know. Would I've done as well back in the days? Probably my workouts would have been different and being more of a 230, but you know, I think it's I don't think I would have done as well. I think now it's just having the leverage of deciding when I want to do it on my terms. I think it's huge. But when I was younger, obviously, I was just looking for it, and it would put me out of position to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I know a little bit about that. You know, you're actually really inspiring, and in the sense for like young youth hockey players, like learning to adapt and evolve. I mean, again, you were a defenseman, offensive defenseman, and you know, you accepted the role to move up as a forward, obviously, and then you know, figuring out that you had to get your hands dirty, but then also to figure out your body. You know, the 230 thing resonates with me because I was that fat ass guy that was
trying to be it big.
Yeah, I was trying to be big and strong.
Honest, and like I fight McDermott often. Like, this guy's big.
Yeah,
he's long. He has everything that a fighter described. Like he has the technique. He works out in the summers. I know where he works out in mini with Clarkey, and I had him in LA. It's like technique and everything, but strong, long.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't work out like that anymore because I want to prove every camp for me. I want to prove that I can play more.
You're a hockey player. Yeah.
5 minutes.
Right.
I had some tough years. Like when I was in Buffalo, I think I fought Jared Bull. 56 second shift, fought Jared Bull. That was my only shift.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah.
Kind of like when you see that it's going away, and you're kind of still that guy. Like, I had to some thinking to do for sure. Like when I switched from forward to from D to forward, I thought my career was out. I thought I was fourth line grinder in the American League, and you know, I got lucky obviously with a trade and having Tim Murray as a GM in Buffalo that wanted me, that saw me. I think he told me he saw me twice play as a forward and loved what he saw. And obviously I got lucky to go in reconstruction completely in Buffalo. I think that's when you guys traded Ville Leino.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I went there, it was like, kind of got lucky. It was guys from East Coast playing their first NHL game and everything. And I got the bite of it, and I started fighting. So that's why I think it helped me a lot to kind of change the page on LA and being that offensive defenseman. It helped me at the beginning of my career for sure, being that forward of having the tendency of picking up the puck as a D-man. I'm like, oh, okay, I know what. If I put my stick there, I would do this. So it kind of helped me a bit.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So got me, it stuck me in the NHL a bit. And then, obviously, like I said, now it was more of adapting to the league. It changes so quick, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after that first year in Buffalo, was that you managed staying in Buffalo for that offseason? And
played pretty much, I think I had 18 goals before trade deadline as a forward and D in Manch. And then got traded at a trade deadline, played 17 games. And obviously I was eligible to play in the playoffs for Rochester and played there. And then that's when I signed my first one-way, two-year deal. And since then was always grabbing that 50 grand more. Until now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So when you were in match, you were saying you played power play on the point, PK, D, but then you're a first line forward.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah,
I was with,
very versatile.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was playing with Brendan Cozen.
Yeah, right.
Jordan Will, so two small.
Oh, Wheeler. Oh, yeah, so, right.
Wheeler.
We had success. So it was funny, but PP on the point, quarterback, and PK blocking shots. So I was kind of doing everything, but at the same time, it's so weird when that decision happened that I was playing forward. I don't know. I didn't know where my career was going to go.
Right.
Like I was called my agent. I was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, just sit tight." And that's when after 3 months.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm still sitting here. Right?
Everything. And then, you know, obviously business is business. I changed my agent and got traded, got an opportunity. And this new league, new generation is all about opportunities.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I think I fit in that window that toughness was still there. You know, obviously I was playing in Manch with Justin Johnson.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Big teddy bear.
Yeah.
He thought me a little bit, you know, and I would not fight in American League. You know, I think I would fight maybe twice, three times a year tops.
Hmm.
And he kind of taught me a little bit and, you know, kind of kept that to heart. And I was fortunate to see him fight John Scott.
Oh, yeah. So what an amazing fight for
that
him.
That was good for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one guy that, you know, you wish that his dream was to play one game in the NHL.
And he got it.
And he got it.
He had a great night the night before,
David versus Goliath.
Right? Trust me, I was with him. He was telling the story.
No,
he had a great
legendary week.
Yes, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Great story.
Oh, good for him. He's but those are people that kind of stick in my head, you know. That,
yeah.
You know, I loved John Scott and I loved Z as well, but they never really I wasn't there long enough with them, so it was kind of the end of the year and it was a shit show. Everybody's gone, so we kind of never talked and had kind of I would have loved to pick their brain and see how I could get better, and but I found it by myself.
Yeah, wow. You definitely have. And you know, you're lucky because playing with Wheelie, if you even watched him before the game, his whole routine, that could have fucked you right up, man.
Oh, yeah.
Warm-ups.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was the most dangerous guy.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, he's bobbing and weaving and
tight turns.
Oh my god!
Man. He was the most intense.
We laughed. Oh my god!
Yeah. Most intense warm up.
Guys, he'd do this whole thing with his eyes closed. Guys are like, "What
there
is he?"
There are some people that have some weird ritual. He is one of them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh my. Visualizing
for sure.
Yeah.
Visualizing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever we were, I had to get a chair for him so he could go somewhere. And he'd sit in the hall and he'd go up the elevator and back down. That's what he said he was doing. Visualizing the door. But in the room when he'd close his eyes and he'd be doing his moves.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm like, dude, you're getting ready to do 100 spins in warm-ups.
You're giving me a headache.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But no.
But a hell of an American League player, man. Yeah, holy, really, that guy could perform for sure. Just expanding on, so you ended the season in Buffalo. I read somewhere that you stayed there that off season. Is that when you kind of figured out how to kind of refine the body to play this new age game and a little bit.
I think obviously family there too. My two oldest one are from Buffalo. That's when I had my first child and was kind of being more involved. I stayed like I was telling you guys just before. I stayed in LA.
Yeah.
On my third year pro. Stayed the full summer there with O'Connell, OC.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I would go on the ice, just me and him. He would teach me. He would always add an inch to my stick as a D-man. Hey,
get the pool skimmer.
Fan. He was a big fan of Prongy's stick, stick and everything. And spent the full summer there. My wife was pregnant. They took care of us and everything. And, it just didn't pan out. I got cut one of the first ones, so... In my head, when that happened, when I went to Buffalo, played a couple games in Rochester, and then stayed there, I was like, I think I have to stay here now because I played a couple games. Like, L.A., I would play some preseason games. I was lefty, D, with Doughty. He would play 25, I would play 3 in preseason. Yeah. I'm like, I can't do anything. Right. And in Buffalo, it was more of a, you know, putting my mindset to, like showing them how I work out and everything.
Yeah, right.
I was there brand new. I was there for 2 months. And no, it got me just before my kid was born. I got a 2-year one way minimum salary. I was like, perfect. And for me, it was like a big deal.
Yeah, right.
Of being on the two way first entry level contract and stayed there. And that's when I started to kind of work out a little bit differently, but still going into, because my first 4 years was really, I need to fight every game. If I didn't fight, I was like, I would run everywhere and just ask glass. I would
yeah,
ask
right, everywhere. Right.
I would like, and after 4 years, that's when I kind of like, I think that trade to Montreal kind of proved to me that if I'm maybe a little lighter, work on my skating and everything. So that's when I kind of changed everything. That was more on my own. But staying in Buffalo was probably a game changer as well, to kind of new GM, everything, new coach.
Show face, and
it helped me to stay there. I hope that was the point. But, you know, give credit to the organization that gave me a chance. But they also, 4 years after, almost put me in the pickle there because they put me on waivers the day before the 25-man roster, so.
Oh, man.
I had to go back in the American League. And for a guy like me, worked so hard to get up there, get sent down, that was a slap in the face. But I took it the right way. I went, I couldn't even go to Rochester. They told me not to go there. Season's started 2 weeks in. Guys have, NHL have 5 games on my home. Just waiting, they're trying to trade me. They don't want me to get hurt. So I had to take an insurance by myself to go work out just to make sure and to not get hurt, and got traded. Went in Laval, played 2 weeks there, got called up, and never went back down. Wow. But I think that's I needed it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 100%. Right.
It was a slap in the face. Went in Laval with a great attitude, and I had a great first year in Montreal. Second year, obviously, fought preseason, had facial surgery.
Yeah,
and I had Claude Julien. Like, I never say anything about coaches, but it wasn't a fit between me and him.
Right.
And he told me, he kept telling me I was behind everybody, and I was up for 8 weeks at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, it was the same story, so I wasn't playing much. I think the last 20 games I got scratched. Jesus. Really didn't make the playoff by 1 point. And then that's when it was my first ever time asking for a trade. I was like, I need out. I have one more year.
Right.
I did an extension with Montreal, and I need out. And going to Anaheim was probably the best thing for me, going in that bigger division, trying to prove that. But my mindset when I got there was totally different. I was like, okay, 26, 27, I'm just going to go there and be a good pro. I won't play every game. And first 20 games, I think I played 5 games. Wow. They were trying to see which kid was staying, and stayed positive. And then ball kept rolling and ended up fighting 12 times that year, scored my first hat trick, and then extension, and then that's where we're at.
Awesome.
So I think the big thing is the mindset that I kind of changed helped me in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's the things that right now, the new generation, everything's been giving to them.
Yeah.
I got kids. I know
how it is. Yeah.
100%. I had a tough childhood, and I don't want my kids to be like that.
Right.
I give them what they want.
Right.
I'll make them work for it a bit, more than maybe the regular person, but everything's been given to everybody. So
that's true. Yeah, talked about entitlement.
But at the same time, it's fun to watch. The NHL is fun to
watch.
Having Zegras, like
we were going to ask you about like that.
Talk about him.
That kid is so gifted. I've never seen somebody with so much hands, so much talent.
Oh,
his attitude is just goofy. You know?
We
came with a thing. I think like he legit has a 5-second. Mental jam. So you would tell him something, and be pissed at him. 5 seconds later, hey, how's it going, man? But I think for how he plays, it's
the best you need that. Yeah, 100%. You got to.
But that's one kid that I'm like, if I do that, I can't pull that off.
Right.
Like, just coming to the rank and just be goofy and just have a terrible practice. But he does work.
Yeah.
When he wants.
When he wants.
But he's an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
And I had. Like, he, just before getting traded, not before getting traded, before Bob Murray got fired, he came up to me. He's like, because I'm a guy that gets at the rink 2 hours before practice. I work out before. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want Zegras and Draisaitl with you every morning. First day, Bob Murray's on the bike. Zegras is not there.
Oh, boy.
Second day, not there. He's like, go fucking get him. Something like that. I told him, I was like, look, I don't want you to fucking lift as much weight as me. Just show your face.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
just exactly. Be there. And he started doing it every morning. He would bring me a coffee, stop at Starbucks, bring me a coffee. But he would be there. So it kind of get into his head of, they wanted him to be there early to kind of be a pro.
Yeah, right.
And I think this year I was talking to Shannon Kirk and all those guys, and he's been doing that, getting there early and everything. So I think it's just trying to get, not the old soul that we have, but, you know, you play a game for a living.
Right.
Get up, come early.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but I think it's the new generations like that, but it's fun to watch when you see those
man.
Kids.
Man, I think people get there early to watch them in warm-ups.
Yep.
Just to watch
them. Yeah.
I still can't pick up the puck on my stick.
Yeah, I know, right?
So
he does it like it's like nothing. You know, like,
but it was a, it's fun to see.
Yeah, it is.
But at the same time, you wish you were, like, my kids don't want to be me. Like, they don't want to be Zegers.
Of course, guys, yeah. But, so sexy looking. Yeah, right? Yeah.
No, but no, it's it's where the money's at, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. If you could score 50 and have mitts like that, I probably would have taken that path. But
I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
It wasn't in the cards now. See that puck? That puck is.
Yeah, you saw it earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The skill level is amazing. But you know, to your point on Zegers, it wasn't so much about how much work he needed to pour in, but like just showing up there early. True. It's like the mindset of being prepared, right?
You can't show up right. He's a guy you don't want him to be strong. Like, you want him to be strong, but at a certain point, you don't want him to bulk up.
No, of course not.
You know, but it's just being a pro.
Just being there, yeah.
It's that's how I think, especially like Torts being here. Like, he hates hats. He wants everybody to be. Oh. But like, he told us, he's like, I lost that battle about hats and everything. But, you know, we have tracksuit for the road.
Right.
You wear them. Like, he's going to call you off if you don't. But that's, for me, it's like, I go up to, go downstairs for breakfast. I know I have to wear that. I don't need to ask, hey, what's the dress code? But those young guys don't know. Like, they're like, oh, I can put some shorts. I still have the hat, but it's not that.
Yeah,
like he is the old generation. He wants you to be like that. You do it like that.
Yeah.
Like the first thing, I think it was first day of camp. Not first day. So after those two skating tests, the first day I see guys going out with no chin strap. I'm like, I think this guy, you might need to want to put your chin strap on.
Yeah.
Just everybody's been putting a chin strap on.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want anything against you on that point, but I think that's what this organization needed. Like, obviously, you
some
guys,
discipline, and you guys structure.
Probably love all this. He hasn't been too bad, I guess, on the on the podcast after games or interviews. But you know, we needed some guidance,
100%.
But at the same time, he can't do it by himself.
Yeah,
we need to fix what's going on and everything. And to come back to the start, I think we obviously last game was bad for us, but you know, we had a good start. You know?
Yeah, very 100%. Good start.
I think Hartsey's been standing on his head.
Yeah,
you know, we have a lot of things to fix, that's for sure. But no, he's a big piece for us too. You know, he comes up and you walk your ass tight. You know, you never know if something's gonna happen. Like today, you know, practice. We had a bad game. We had a day off yesterday. Like, everybody's mentally prepared to get bagged.
Yeah.
We didn't, but we worked on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But you know, it makes everybody just walk straighter, and you know, I think it's good.
100%. Yeah, it was needed.
I worked with Torch 3 times with USA Hockey and stuff, and even at that, like, man, he holds you accountable, and I mean,
and there's no bullshit,
right?
Yeah. If he's like, our meeting before camp was, you know, like, we're gonna have some battles, we're gonna have some good times, some bad times. It's not because I hate you,
right?
I'll send some message. He does. You're making 7 sheets or you're making 750. He treats everybody the same way. I think that's what we needed, and that's what I think the NHL still needs.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, for Flyer situation going into the offseason, like, there couldn't have been a better guy to take that job and lay down that foundation and bring that accountability back and, you know, build off that, right? I mean, you said, like, you need a supporting cast. He can't do it himself, obviously.
No, for sure.
But it seems like, you know, the between yourself and D'Angelo off-season additions and just the energy behind the rest of the guys is certainly, from a spectator standpoint, certainly visibly obvious that you guys are trending in the right direction and you guys are believing in him and the system.
Like I said, there is a lot of things to work on, for sure. But I think having that, you know, obviously, we're going to be in shape. That's for sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
having that mentality, there's like no quit.
Yeah, right.
No, blocking shots is a big thing for him.
Yeah.
And guys are blocking shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody. And I think that's the thing that, if you work hard and you lose, he's going to be as happy as if you win and you
have
an easy night.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that kind of brings back to keeping everybody accountable. Like now, like you play a shift and you feel like you did a mistake. He knows you did one.
Yeah.
He might not sit you or something, but you know that video session. So it makes the full environment stricter. It's fucking work.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I think it's good, but we'll try to turn this thing around. You know, obviously when I talked to Chuck and to Torts before signing, like I kind of knew what went wrong before. So I kind of felt like I was already here before signing.
Yeah.
That what needed to be changed. And, you know, Torts came in and said, I need to change a couple of things. And not even a week after, things were changed.
So, yeah. It was funny. One of the boys told me the other day, he had some guys get haircuts.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the old man.
So what do you think about the man bun?
that wouldn't fly.
I thought he was going to say something about my beard, but he has a little scruffy one and he has the goatee. If he would have said something, I would have probably did the goatee.
But
no, I think he wants you to be presentable.
Right.
I actually don't care about hair and everything.
But, right.
You know, like I think poor Wado.
Yeah.
But I told him he looks better like this. So, I think he shot himself in the foot. He liked to play with it, so it's kind of
a distraction now.
And you're a younger guy.
Yeah, you can't have that.
But no, he did it right away.
Yeah.
I offered him to cut it right before practice.
Did you? That would be great.
But no, he's a good kid too.
Yeah.
You know, he's a beauty, awesome. Yeah.
He works his ass off. That's what we like. But, you know, that was a message.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
He did it right away.
Yeah, exactly. And it's translating, you know, into the fans, right? I mean, all fans want, especially in Philly, it's just honest effort, right? That identity, just like that, again, win, lose, or draw. It's like you're showing up and you're going to fight till the
buzzer. Yeah, no, for sure. And just look at how the vibe is going in the city right now.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I was warming up just before the game when Harper hit that bomb, and I heard
the stadium. You could hear the stadium.
It was insane.
That's crazy, man.
But that's how.
Yeah.
That's one thing why, when I signed here, was this city is.
Yeah.
You're gonna have some people that's gonna hate you. I still get chirped about me signing here and not Johnny Gaudreau, because the full story was him signing here,
right?
And I took his money.
I
wish I took
money. Everybody here, I would.
Obviously, those fans don't know anything.
They don't know what they're talking about.
But,
obviously,
know, those are things like.
Right.
I played in Montreal.
Yeah.
One day you're God. The next day. You can't play hockey.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not a guy that gets affected by anything.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you see the city. Like, it's a sports town. You can. If you don't perform, you don't perform.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we're going to get booed sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're going to be jumping in. It's going to be sick.
So yeah. When the team's working hard, it's always good. But I'll tell you what, the playoffs, it's just like with the Phillies, obviously not as many people in a building, but. Man, in the final, when we were in the finals, even we were talking about the series a few years back with it. Well, it's been a while now, actually.
Yeah, right.
With Pittsburgh back. But man, I mean, that building gets going, man, and get chills.
Especially right now, too. Like, it's a good start for the city. Like, I think personally, we had a good start.
Yep.
You know, 4-2. I'm pretty sure everybody was not thinking that.
No.
We just said that earlier. Yeah. Exactly.
And you got the Eagles, and you got. Phillies that are doing unbelievable. So I think it's good for the city. We just gotta, you know, kind of get the vibe from them as well.
Yeah.
Trying to get the full city just buzzing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, I don't think they were expecting this start, although we actually, not to say we know what we're talking about, but we did. Like we talked about it. It was just like, I'm telling you, this team, knowing Torts, it's gonna be different, man. You know, I'm not saying you're gonna win 82 games, but they're gonna play hard. You guys are gonna play hard. I still know most of the guys on the team and talk to them, and they've been embarrassed by, you know, what's going on, and it's take a lot of shit in Philly, like you said. Like, this is one of those towns, but like, nobody likes losing.
Doesn't help you as a
individual with a contract or anything like that.
You play for so much things.
Right.
Exactly.
Pride is one of them.
Yep.
You play for the team, but there's some guys that need to sign.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of play for yourself a little bit, but
right.
you don't have success if the team's not having success. That's the truth. I told this in so many interviews. Like, people were like, so, like, you're not a point guy, but, like, when you don't have a point in, like, 5, 6, 10 games, I was like, if I can go a full year without a point and make the playoff, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Right.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not there for that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for me, I got asked after a game in Tampa. I was like, how does it feel when you're in the box and you score? And they score. Like, they get their point. It feels for me the same way as when I score.
Right.
You know, I fight. I go in the box. Not even the shift after we score.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Turn the game. I mean,
yeah.
That's like, for me, I want AZ to have 50 goals.
Right.
I don't want to have some.
Yeah.
I'll have 50 fights. Yeah, right. But, you know, winning is something, and if I can change something by not being on the score sheet, I can care less.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's huge for the team, and that's what some people just didn't understand about how good of a signing this was for you, or for the Flyers. And
yeah.
You,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I won't
complain.
But you know, yeah, what, I know, right? yeah. But you know what I mean? It's yeah, just, no, it's like sure. something things sometimes fans don't understand the game totally, you know. And know what the certain
it is hard to understand as a fan, for sure. You try to – some people don't know about the caps.
Right.
The cap space and everything. Like, you want Wayne Gretzky to come back and play. You
yeah,
know,
right.
Like, you want McDavid to be traded to your team.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work like that. But, yeah. no, right. it's that's what makes it fun, though. It makes it, like, people like you, people hate you.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's the full – you can't be loved by everybody. That's right. That's the main thing. But if it starts affecting you, that's when, you know, it's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. Outside of the, you know, say the foundation that's been laid, you know, the groundwork and the identity, I mean, you said you're working on a bunch of stuff, obviously. I think we can all recognize you can always work on stuff. What is, you know, they say the top two things as a team right now that you guys are focusing on cleaning up?
Well, I think, you know, closing quick into the D-zone is one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think I think our start's been – we had some good starts, we had some bad starts. I think those two things are more of, you know – not issues, but need to be fixed. I think in the D zone, we kind of watch a little bit too much sometimes. We got to close, and, you know, we've been practicing every day. Every day we have a practice. There's 5-on-5 drill.
Yeah.
There's some good players out there, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
We have to have kind of that mindset that we can close, but if something happens, that we have the support, that somebody else can help, and those are things. And I think, you know, we've been shooting the puck quite a bit. I think that's the main thing. But I think it's... all around, we have to fix a little bit of things, but I think that D zone is one of those things, you know. But it comes back to old school, like you played.
Yeah.
Those two blue lines, you can't turn the puck over.
No, you cannot.
Those kills.
They'll haunt you.
And I think it's going to stay like this for the rest. I think if hockey generation or hockey
world, right, yeah.
if you turn the puck at those two blues, it hurts. So I think those are things that we have to clean up, you know. I think there's a couple games that we were in the fight and. One mistake, they capitalize.
Yeah.
And we know, like Torres said it, we don't have the powerhouse to have one guy that can score 5 goals.
That's it.
You know, we have to do it as a team. We have to be better without the puck, defend yeah. better. And, you know, we've been lucky enough to like our PP was going well the first 2 or 3 games, you know. Last yeah. game didn't work out, but there's games like this.
Right.
It's trying to, you know, that D-zone be better in front of Hartsey. Because we know we have a good goalie. We know he's going to save our ass.
Yeah.
If you can save it twice instead of 10 times,
yeah.
it helps a lot.
Exactly.
But those are things for sure. And you know how it is, special teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's huge. You know, obviously we got scored a couple goals on the PK. And, you know, those are things that, you know, you got to tweak. Sometimes killing that extra 5 seconds helps you win that game. So
right.
it's all little things, but obviously – no, we're missing some good pieces.
Yeah, right.
That's what I think people aren't thinking about either. We're missing a few guys
yeah,
right now.
You know, I think, you know, Risto didn't play. Risto's a big body, big
right.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be back soon. I think that helps our decor.
Right.
No doubt.
You got Cam,
yeah.
veteran guy. You got Coots. That's probably, I would almost compare him as Bergeron. You know?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. 100%.
True.
Defensive-minded, but
yeah.
has skill
can
offensively.
Score, yeah.
No, those are two big pieces.
No
you got
kidding.
Brownie as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing well.
Right.
Could we do better? 100%. But there's some things that are missing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And you mentioned, like, the D-zone closing. I feel like, when, you know, when you think of, like, towards his teams, in the past. It's like, you know, really real strong emphasis on the D zone. I remember like them squeezing like four bodies in the corner. But I mean, to your point, I mean, you know, you have to score as a collective unit because you don't have that, you know, extra firepower. So playing, you know, better defensively, obviously, is going to, you know, he's going to translate to more, you know, some more offensive chances, but also to help Carter Hart, right?
For
I mean, it's like giving up grade A opportunities.
For sure. We TK's having a good start this year, you know, like he's leading scoring for us. We trust that he's going to score goals, but we have to defend first.
Yeah.
You can't, we don't have the team to play run and gun.
No.
Are we good defensively compared to another team defensively? Maybe, but we don't have that firehouse up front that can.
Yeah.
So I think the old saying, if you score more goals than them, it's for sure a win. But, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, we start well and close quick. That's the main thing.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I would love the start. Love the foundation.
Awesome.
What's your overall thoughts on Philly outside of, like, you know, the fans themselves? I mean, have you had a chance to
I haven't had the chance, not much. Obviously, not being – obviously – practicing in Voorhees, I didn't go much in Philly. But, you know, I think it's more being more around the team right now. It's kind of the only thing I can describe. Obviously, I'm a little ways away from those guys from Haddonfield, but it's been good. You know, I think it's weather is beautiful. And, you know, as of now, I think I have to find myself to go a little bit more in Philly because. No
cheesesteak yet?
No.
No?
Oh, no.
He's off the cheesesteaks now. He's off the
cheesesteaks. Can't be 2:30.
Yeah, right? He told you he's cutting weight.
No, but you got to have one. I'll have to
find a good spot, that's for sure. But, no, I haven't visited much. You know, obviously, the only time is when I came here to visit the house. We were staying at the hotel downtown at the Ritz there and kind of visit the locker room here and then Wells Fargo. But I haven't been in Philly much.
Well, I guess over time you'll land up finding your way there. I mean, I know you got your hands full. You got four kids and you got some dogs and, you know, a home to take care of. What are your hobbies outside of you know, being a hockey player and grinding at the rink?
Just pretty much everything that kids want to do.
Yeah, like, right.
That's the thing. I don't bring work at home. You know, obviously, I have a saint at home, my wife with four kids. Obviously, when I see those rolling eyes, that means, you know, I got to take care of the kids.
You're tagged in.
No, we got the two little ones that, you know, I got my youngest one that's just a ball of energy. So there's always something going on.
Yeah.
But my Barbies has been, it's been the good thing. But like everything on Disney Plus, I've seen it. The two oldest one now are more of a, you know, I got my oldest one that's doing gymnastic classes every Wednesday, so I kind of take care of that.
Okay.
And, you know, my son's playing hockey every Monday here. And I try to do all those things because obviously when we go on the road, trying to help the wife, you know, happy wife, happy life. But no, it's more of I cook a lot. You know, I've started probably when COVID hit, you know, I love red wine, so I kind of pair it with what I want. So I kind of try to help the wife as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, kick Chef Greg out? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, his food's been good. It's been good. No, but I'm a guy great. You know, on days off, I like to, you know, go in the cellar, grab a bottle of wine, and kind of Google that and be, oh, this is good with pasta fish. So I'm not a guy that's going to create food, but if I have all the instruction, I can do
whatever.
You do
it.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm a big smoker guy, too, so... Love my Traeger.
Okay. There you go. Yeah,
it's no. It's been one thing. I try to help the wife as much as possible. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we practice at 11. You know, breakfast and lunch, I'm not there, so it's trying to take care of dinners. But you know, it's been good. It's been kind of peaceful. Especially, I think 4 years ago, I decided to, you know, I don't bring work at home. I don't,
right.
There's some
smart.
There's some things that, you know, my wife knows it. She. First year, she was like, why do you fight? Like, it's, and now if I don't fight in five games, she's like, you better do something. It's kind of
eat a piece of red meat and get out there.
I had to teach my oldest son to kind of, he came in California, he came six games and I fought five games in a row, and the sixth one I didn't fight, come home, he's like, dad,
take a night off, Dad?
You didn't fight? So I kind of tried to talk to him. You don't want to be like me.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want to be like him. So yeah. it's kind of that way. It's funny now. The kids love it. And obviously, you try to take care of the body. You know, you,
yeah.
you've seen some bad things with back in the days, people that fight a lot. But, you know, I think the main thing that kind of keeps me sane is, you know, not talking about it. You know?
Yeah, right.
Just, right.
I do my study. I do my before game. I know. Let's say we're playing against Colorado. I look at my fights that I did against McDermott. I kind of see the tendency and everything. Then when it's done, it's done. I
don't, right.
And I think I have a lot of respect for guys that do that job. That's why you'll see it every fight. I always talk in the box to somebody, and like when the fight's over, we always chat. You know, I don't have hate. I don't fight because I hate the guy.
Right.
It's if something happened or I'm trying to change something, but
yeah,
we're all in the same boat. It's a tough job. There's
yes, it is.
It's no, I love it though. That's the thing, but at the same time I have respect for all those guys that do that.
Yeah, no, much respect for you and what you do and how you've evolved. It's actually very, very inspiring. You're obviously a coachable guy. You've had some great coaches throughout your career. Has anybody in your hockey career really jumped out to you as like being like a guy that kind of helps you make sense of your skill set and direction you need to go?
Yeah, I think when I got traded from LA to Buffalo, Ted Nolan kind of gave me the – obviously it was – team was not going well at all, but kind of gave me – the eye-opener that, you know, you can play hockey. You know, take what you had before as a D-man and try to put it in your game. Because I was just stiff trying to fight. Hit, I would get the puck and I would bobble it, dump it. Now I still do it. Obviously, I don't have skills.
It sounds like my shifts. What do I do when I do with this thing?
Trying to be more relaxed is something, right. You know, like, and, you know, shooting the puck. Sometimes I try to, like, put it in the corner and go get it. I love hitting.
But yeah.
I can shoot the puck more. I think those were, obviously, he kind of set that a little bit in my head. It took me a while to kind of get going. But, you know, going to Anaheim was, you know, Dallas Eakin's a really family guy. Like, he really treats people like their own kids and kind of, like, talked to me when I was not playing a lot my first year there. And he was like, you know, like, I see you in practice. Like, you always score in practice. Like, I created that Abbott and junior to being the best practice player because I had the two toughest coaches in junior. I had Andre Tourney that's in Arizona, and I had Benoit Grue.
Oh,
and
yeah,
those guys, if you didn't practice well, he didn't give a shit who you were.
Yeah.
So for me, it would always be that. And in practice, I feel like I'm a skill guy in practice. Like, again, I can score. I make plays and everything. When it comes to game, I kind of, like, come back to my roots of, like, trying to hit and everything. But, you know, Dallas Eakin was kind of one guy that kind of, like, told me, like, you're a big guy. Use your speed. You're going to do it. Hockey's a game of mistakes. I'd rather you do a mistake of trying something, maybe not at those two blue lines.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, trying something in the ozone, you know, trying to beat a guy one-on-one. He kind of believed in me that I have a 50-50 chance of, you know, trying something. And that's one thing that kind of opened up a bit. And, you know, obviously I wish I had more skill and more offensive minded, but I think I still have that blockage from being that fourth line guy when you come in the league scared of making a mistake.
Right.
So obviously I'm trying to still improve in that, but, you know, it's a still a learning game. 31, I'm still trying to learn.
Still oh yeah, man. Yeah, you're still always a student of the game, right?
That makes me feel old. I think I told you this earlier. I had Dallas Eakins as a player. That's how old I am. Like, my
don't
first year, he was in Florida.
Face, yeah.
In Florida, my first year in Florida, he was playing there. But anyway.
I've heard great things about him.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of building off what you're saying there, like the evolution from D to forward, like, you know, he sounds like you're, like, tentative trying to figure it out. Like, what was that fine line of, like, what you believed you could do, you know, like getting the puck? Like, were you trying to skate pucks in, or were you, right when you took on the role, were you just put him in the corner and trying to get the hit?
I think getting the hit for me kind of got in my head because those Ds don't like when I'm coming.
Yeah.
No.
And that's me carrying the puck and maybe getting squeezed off. Puts in my mind that I could have created maybe something on, yeah, maybe I'm going to go hit him and we won't get the puck. If I do it multiple times, not third period.
They're throwing the puck away.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
I think there was one game, what was it? I think it was the first game of the year. Dumped the puck, I'm trying to go behind the guy to hit him, and he's letting me go in front.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know,
yeah.
No, obviously now with, like, you know, mixing lines and everything, I think it's, you know, having that mindset that as a line you play together a lot, you know, trying to get the tendency. Like, I played last game with Lots and Big Mac, and I told Lots, I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I know you want to be. He's like, one of the easiest periods I've played. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to kind of get that mindset that everybody together. And I think I had success in Anaheim with that, is that I was playing with Derek Grant and Cutter Rowney, and it was, they knew I was F1.
Yeah, right.
We knew Rowney was F2, and we knew that Grant was F3, but it never changed. So they kind of knew, okay, if he dumps there, my instinct is going to whack it behind the net. So I knew he was there. So at one point, it's like, getting familiarized with your line as well. But I think it's, I should carry it more, obviously, with my body and if I have that speed. But I think my mindset's still there of, like, I'm trying to hurt him.
Yeah.
So when I go back, I might get the puck now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, but no, I wish I could handle the puck with more poise. But, you know, I think it's just being that fourth line guy, you try to
Be
minded defensively and not being that guy that it turns the other way. And because our minutes are not like first line minutes. So you want to prove that you make the right play and safe play. But I agree. I'm always more on the safer side than the riskier side. And I think it helped me in my career for sure. But you know, I think I should take more risk at certain spots.
So. Yeah. But I feel you know, like you know where you stand, and like you enjoy hitting. Like, I was the same way. Not that thought of trying to beat a defenseman, but you know, like you just know what that play is going to create. Some, you know, I mean, you're going to get on the body, and it's going to squirt out, and it's going to create a little melee.
And if
melee.
It doesn't now, it's
like,
do it the same.
Do it again. Do it again. And do it again.
Obviously, as you're a lefty, when you dump the puck, technically you got three chance of hitting 3D.
Yep.
If you hit that same guy every time, because obviously fourth line, you're not playing against the top D. They're trying to play against it. So if you hit that third pair every time, then you maybe you don't wish to hurt anybody, but if one gets out, you're down to 5D. Now you do the same thing on the other one. Like, that decor gets tired, and that's when you want your top guns to
100%
keep the ball rolling down low. So I think that's why I think to come back to stats wise, like I do want to score. Do I want it as primary? No.
Right.
You're wearing out the D. And as you know, as a defenseman, like going back for pucks over and over and over again, it's a hard thing to do.
No.
It's hard to make good plays under pressure.
No, for
you
sure.
know? It's like,
for sure.
And like you said, like third period, now you're just rimming pucks. You know, you're making bad plays.
And then you start changing your adjustment on the forecheck. You get the puck on the rims and you'll create offense sometimes off of that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a hell of a job. You know, I keep saying it, but I just like appreciate you. You know, just knowing your boundaries and you know, being coachable and continuing to evolve and being a student, right? I think that's the only way to do
it. Well, that's the thing. I've never even – this is the biggest contract I've signed year-wise, and I always have the mindset that, you know, I might be scratched. Yeah. I need to play well. And every camp, I'm trying to prove something else.
Right.
At the beginning, I was trying to prove that to be an NHL player. I still did that when I was in Anaheim. And now it's more, okay, maybe I'm established, but I don't put it in my head.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I want to prove that. I don't want to play 6 minutes. I want to play 10 minutes. Right. So, like, I always try to put in my head that there's something that I need to prove. So I think it's going to be like this. I don't know how long I'll play, and it's going to be like this until, you know, I hang them up. It's
right.
It's the mindset, you know, of I've never got given anything. I have to work for it. So that's –
Well, you work your ass off, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah, you've had some nice tillies. What's your most memorable fight?
I've had some good ones against McDermott.
Yeah.
I don't think I've won them, but, you know, I think
highly entertaining, though.
Long marathon ones,
right.
I think. But the one that I liked the most in the past few years, probably against Oleksiak. That was one that I felt.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I felt confident, like the full. Like, I always feel confident. Even if he switched, that was I've never hit somebody that hard.
Yeah.
But that last Sealer's fight too was something good.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
That was a good fight. And I think I told it on another podcast just when I signed it, like, who do you think is gonna be your best friend? I was like, there's always something when you fight somebody and you come back and
Yeah.
You know, we've been tightening him. Yeah, so, Seal, yeah. No, I had that was a tough week for me. I fought three times. I fought Gadjevich, a pretty tough kid too. I broke my nose on that one. Oh. And a week after, I fought Seal, and he clipped me and broke it again.
Oh, that's
but,
fun.
That was yeah. a good one. But no, obviously, like I said, I don't consider myself as the toughest guy in the league. But I'll search.
You're right up there, man. Yeah, I'll tell you that. Man.
I won't say no. I'll say no. Well, not that I won't say no. Now because I know when to do it and when not.
Yep.
But I won't say no because I'm scared.
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, I think Borowiecki's an unbelievable guy, tough guy. He is one of the guys that I still struggle fighting because a lefty and the way he comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that last fight, I knew he was going to do it. We talked in the box after, too. I knew he was coming in. But he came in more lower because I knew he always charged.
Yeah.
I wanted to come in with the uppercut. But he came low, so I went up top, and I hit him so hard. But he charged me, so we fell.
Yeah.
And he came in the box. He's like, I knew you were going to do that. I was like, there's something about lefties that I'm still trying to manage. But, you know, it's I don't mind getting a few off the kisser. So
yeah, yeah, right. Gets you in the fight early, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It wakes you up sometimes.
Yeah, it does, right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely keep, you know, Reeves and the Wilsons and these guys on, you know, honest, because – Flyers haven't had that for yeah, some no, time, so like, all of a sudden these guys are walking around like King Kong, and it changes the it dynamic did. Of the game, man.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, no, obviously, I think my first couple years when Revo was in St. Louis, and I was starting to get into the itch, like, if you let a guy like that, like, I want to become kind of that guy too, you know, like,
yeah.
guys are, he crosses the bench, and the guys are just sitting there. He can chirp us and not say nothing.
Yeah.
No, it won't happen.
Yeah, right.
Because even if I feel like I lose the fight after, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to fight, I'll fight.
Yeah.
That's fine. And just, I don't want you to run your mouth in front of the bench and just have no answer, and guys are just sitting tight.
Yeah.
You know, that's trying to be that guy. Like I said, I don't go for wins or losses. I go for, I'll go. That's it.
Showing up and bringing the spirit.
Doing the team and change the game, like we said in Tampa there. He changed the game there. Yeah. And boys were fucking all up banging their sticks when he came out. And I mean, it's
fun. It's like I said, there's that feeling of coming out of the box after 5 minutes and everybody's up and just cheering. You know,
it's awesome.
It's almost like a goal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that energy that is created, again, you can't quantify, you know, obviously the fans, you know, get excited.
It's a weird feeling. People try to ask, like, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
Throughout the fight, they're like, hey, do you think, like, you hear the crowd? Not during, after, yes.
After, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's mixed emotions of what happens on the ice.
Yeah.
Because guys, let's say in Tampa, I fought, and you don't, obviously we're in a different building, but, you know, you feel the guys tapping on the boards and everything. Then you score. Then you feel the guys happy for, but, like, I see, like, how the snowball effect goes.
Yes.
And then when you come out, obviously at home, who was it? I think it was Cody McCormick.
Oh, yeah.
Always told me, he was like, if you want to get the best feeling of fighting, always fight at home.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
But there's so much, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, right. There's so much energy, just a circle of energy, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then it carries through the game. Let's say you fight in the first, then you go meeting after the first, and guys are just, everybody, good job.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes throughout the full day. It doesn't go through just that.
Yep.
2 seconds.
Yeah.
But it is hard to explain.
It is hard to explain.
You've done it way more than me, and I'm pretty sure it's the same. You try to explain it.
There's so many dimensions of the energy, because you look at, like, the fan energy and the energy within yourself, but then, like, the teammates, how much confidence it can generate in
how much respect you get.
Respect,
from
the, it's from both benches, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an energy. It's really hard to put into words, and it's more than just like a one dimensional energy.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why I still, you know, like, I'm gonna sit here and obviously sound like I'm fully supporting fighting, because I still believe it belongs in the game, because accountability is a powerful thing. But I've also seen on the other side of things, like, you know, for example, playing in Pittsburgh and George the Rock's not playing, and like how it makes me feel, like I'm still going to run around like Donkey Kong, but now I don't got to fight George the Rock. But you know what I mean?
You have
so
an
it's
edge.
Like, yeah,
you
I got an edge. Edge. It's like just that mindset is a powerful thing, you know, versus, okay, now he's in the lineup, whether I fight him or not. It's like, it just
100%. Like you're always ready for somebody, but if, like you said, if George's not playing,
it's like,
how much leverage do you think he has?
Yeah.
Right.
He can run around, and if he hits somebody and it, just by his presence, it's insane.
You know, it really is. But I still believe that it has an effect on the psyche. It keeps people in line. Just 100%. Knowing whether there's a fight or not, just knowing you're in the lineup.
Yep.
Just makes people think a little bit more about what.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. When I play Colorado and I'm stretching on the red line and McDermott's not playing.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not fighting tonight.
Yeah.
But it does make me kind of breathe and stand taller.
Yeah.
You know, it does. I still think that I don't think it's never gonna come back to back in the days.
No.
Right. It's getting away.
Right.
But it's still there.
Yeah.
I didn't play like you guys, obviously, but I can tell you, like you said, say McDermott's not in the lineup. I'll bet you his teammates wish.
I was going to say their
was.
Teammates.
I guarantee you they wish he 100%. Was, because I know back when Simmer was basically our only guy a few years back, and Wayne Simmons would fight anyone.
Yeah.
When he was hurt or wasn't playing, what a difference on our bench.
Yeah.
I mean, Simmer's one of those guys. Someone does something, he stood right up. Hey. Yep. Like, and we told the story before. Sidney Crosby, I was talking to Sid the one night, and he was talking about he really likes a tough guy. Like, he likes having a guy, in his lineup. And I said, man, I'm like, Simmer hasn't been able to really find a fight. And I said, he goes into a scrum, and guys are looking on the ice for quarters. They don't even want to look at him, And
he's the presence.
It's exactly right.
That's one thing, too, with Torts. Like, we want to defend our blue paint. But we want to be in their blue paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too. Like, I've got told by, I don't remember who told me this. It was 3 or 4 years ago. He said, just go at the blue paint, and they won't drop a puck until you're out of there. So let the ref move you.
Yeah.
That's why I always go there. And if I'm there, I'm there, and I'm not moving. If not, I always, if it's a shot from the blue line, I'm coming down the wall. I always try to find myself to just go touch it.
Yeah.
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 Doesn't mean a lot, but.
Well,
you keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. That's one thing that Torts really wants. Like, those two blues, those are ours. So
yes.
I think that's why you've been seeing a lot of, pushing and, nobody can stand there. And I think that's what it comes down to. There's sometimes this year, the gloves are going to drop, and it could be somebody else. But we still need some.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I think the less fights or the less people like us, I think the way I see it, there's going to be more cheap shots.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how it is, man. There's still some now. I'm pretty sure when you played, there was way less than what it is now. There's not big ones, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's keeping people honest. And, I love what you're saying about the blue paint. I mean, obviously, we've heard this before. Coaches talk about the blue paint all the time. But there is something very powerful about just doing what you're saying. Just like, even if it's meaningless in that moment, you just go by there, you just step foot through there.
100%.
Over time, it's like, you become a harder team to play against.
Cause you don't even need to say anything.
You don't say anything. Yeah, right. You just float around.
Sometimes you can just say a joke. You're just there. And sometimes, who was it? It was a skilled D. And I was just like, you want one?
Yeah. Well, what?
No,
I don't.
But it's just being there.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk, build off that a little bit, because I talk about this a little bit. Like when you get in a situation where you're in a confrontational state and you're looking a guy in the eyes, like 98% of the guys, like what are you saying, like picking up quarters, and just the eye contact goes down, right? Because they don't want nothing to do with it. And you got maybe 1% of the guys that might pop the chest out and like act like they want. And
usually those guys are when the refs are.
Right, when the refs come in,
No, it is. Sometimes you're just staring and you think he's looking at you, and not even 2 seconds when you stare at him, just that extra second.
Yeah.
I personally can't blame them.
I feel like, that's it.
And then you got like the 0.5% or 1% of guys that will actually like engage because they're wired that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's amazing. Just like to what you're saying is like standing there, having that presence. Most people will say cower. They want nothing to do with it.
Right.
And that's why I really believe that this role should never ever.
I
leave the game,
100%.
But I understand the game is so skilled and I love it. But, once you remove
it
fully.
The full skills and everything, but I think there's still boundaries to
meat and potatoes, I mean, and you're a perfect example of filling in that modern day tough guy, because you have to be able to play the game. I wasn't in the same league at all. So, you know, appreciate what you've done in your career and how you've evolved to where you are today. And
yeah,
looking forward to the rest of the season with you, man.
It's been fun. Like I said, obviously, only had three fights that weren't great, but you know. Still three and six games.
Three and six games.
On pace for quite a bit.
It means a lot. Keep that pace up.
Yeah.
It means a lot to your team. That's the thing.
I'm more of a guy that puts the team first, and I think we have something special.
Yeah,
we
yes,
have
I
some,
agree.
Some young guys that, you know, they work hard. But to come back to, I think, Torts is demanding, that helps a lot.
It does.
Yeah,
it
no doubt.
It's exactly what we needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming
out,
man. This has been awesome.
This was fun. It was sick.
Awesome.
No, thank you.
Appreciate you. Good luck the rest of the way. Keep grinding. And
yeah, keep her going, man.
Look forward to seeing how the season pans out.
Hope you don't lace them back up. So.
Yeah. Well, buck 85, man. He'll be a skill guy out there.
He's a skill guy in men's league. Oh, yeah. He's
totally, power play.
Yeah,
you know,
power play guy.
Goals.
So that's where I have to go to.
All roads land up in the same league, man.
Yeah, right? Man, we do appreciate you, brother. Best of luck, man. It's awesome having you in Philly. Like Ralph said, we were so pumped when you signed. We're like, this is unbelievable. So, perfect fit here, man.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
A big thank you to our friend Nick Delorier. What an awesome dude.
Awesome guy, man.
Appreciate him coming on, spending the time with us today.
Nice to have him here in Philadelphia and not having to worry about him playing against.
Yeah, no doubt.
Another team, if he would have been somewhere else. Great guy, great team guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone you want on your team.
Yes.
And again, a guy that you really don't love playing against. But a Philly guy all the way.
Yes.
See him for the next 4 years. So appreciate him spending the time with us today.
Yes.
I think it's time to get into the clear questions presented to you by our good friends at Clear Rum. Baller, what do you got?
We got one from Dylan McCall over on the gram. He said, any funny or interesting moments with Bob when he was in net for us?
Oh, nice. What do you got?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not sure if we talked about the Snoop Dogg incident.
I'm not sure they're asking about
in the pipes.
So we're talking about
Snoop Dogg. I just meant when he was here. Okay, so in the pipes. In the pipes. He was pretty dialed in, man. You know, like he never really had an issue. Yeah, he. I know he just always had to have the straw in his water bottle.
Yeah.
I remember one game, someone took his bottle and he always brought it in, and I was scrambling around and I went to Airmark. I went around the way and they cut one of the hoses from the like the drink machine.
Oh no way! How clever! How clever!
It fit perfectly, but nothing overly like crazy happened with him. That's about the only thing I could think of because, like I said, Bob was so prepared.
Yeah,
you know when he was here. I mean, he had a routine daily, and you know he was obviously speaking English, but there was nothing ever really happened that was too crazy with him.
You talked about how prepared he was and how dialed in he was. You may as well just give the 101 story about the Snoop concert.
Well, quickly, I'll make it short. He's here. He barely speaks English. He's been here 48
hours?
Yeah, 48 hours, 2 days. So it was funny because he was actually doing lessons, English lessons, twice a day. And so he was picking up a few things, and I remember him coming in about, it was about the third day, and he's like, good morning, Nasty. And he's smiling because he's so proud, you know. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, that's awesome. Like, good morning, Bob. And then I say something. He's like, okay. he's walking around.
See you later.
So anyway, at the end of the day, I said, it was a bunch of us going to the concert, Snoop Dogg concert. And I was like, hey, Bob, but you know Snoop Dogg? Yeah. And, you know, I'm like trying to figure out how to say it. I'm like, concert. I kind of get it across to him. Okay. I'm like, I'll pick you up 5 o'clock and we go. So, as you know, we get there, we go to eat dinner, and
have a couple pops.
Yeah, have a couple beers. Now, he was not drinking. He didn't drink, and he was able to say green tea.
Yeah.
Remember he said green tea, and we were at a place where this guy had tattoos all over his face and everything else. And he's
like beer, 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 vodka, beer.
Green tea. And I'm like, water's good. And I'm like, Bob, water. He's like, okay. So, we eat. We go into the venue. Well, Snoop Dogg's late.
Oh, yeah.
You remember our buddy Malcolm? We're up there seeing Malcolm and talking to him. And a few different things happen, not to draw it out, but one of the funnier things is we walk upstairs real quick. I said, Bob will be right back. Now it's about 8 o'clock now, right? We've been there like 3 hours. So we run up and all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, Bob, we forgot about Bob. I think Jeff Carter was with us.
Yeah.
So I go running back down the steps because we're upstairs in the office and there is a girl fight going on and Bob is backed into the corner and his eyeballs are popping out of his head. These two girls, they got a handful of hair and they're swinging. I'm like, it's funny, but it's not because he's scared of death. So get him. Everything's calm. They get these girls out because we were up top. We're roped off, right? Mm-hmm. So then they're like, you guys want to go meet Snoop? He's finally on his way. We go downstairs. His security came in back then when he was Snoop Lion.
Yeah, yeah, correct? Right. You got the Muslim security. You got the gangster security. Yeah.
And the doors flew open, and these guys came flying in, and the ceilings were low. I looked tall in there because the ceilings are low at the back, in the back of the place. And this guy comes right over and says, like, who the fuck are you? And this guy was huge, and Bob was like, he, like, thought he was going to die right on the spot, and I did too, actually. So it kind of, like, calm everything down. Our buddy steps over and says, no, no, they're with us, they're with us. We give Snoop a jersey, go back upstairs. Now, finally, Snoop comes on. Where were you? I'm looking around for you. I got Bob with me. I'm, like, having Elvis at that point because you know you barely speak English.
He traumatized.
Just was traumatized already by this whole thing. We fight through the crowd to get back up to our seat, and I'm like, "Where's Kartsy and Riles?" Look down. Here comes Snoop on stage. You and Kartsy on stage. Oh, yeah. I'm like, what? And Bob's going, look, look. He's like, sees you guys on stage. So now he's about two songs in, and Bob's like on his phone, and I'm like,
texting
what's
his
up?
Agent.
Oh yeah, I'm like, Bob, what? He's like,
yeah.
I'm like, bro, it's 8:30, man.
It's song number
like,
two.
This is the second song. Yeah, bedtime.
Man, yeah,
you know, like that. And I'm like, not yet, man, not yet. You know, and he's like, oh, so we watch about four or five songs. I'm watching you and Kartsy, really, because I'm just like dying that you guys are on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a drummer. And finally, he's on his phone, and I'm like, you know what, man? He's probably texting his agent. His agent's going to call Homer. What do you got him at this concert for? So we ended up leaving, but he always said he enjoyed it. He had a good time, but he got five songs of it in. Anyway.
Oh, man.
That was probably one of the funniest
stories.
He
got welcomed to Philly in a big way that day. Holy.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting all of that.
Probably carrying that trauma around still.
No, he's fine now. He's fine.
All right, Baller, what do you got?
One more. Quinn over on Twitter. What are some of the craziest times you've heard a coach specifically call out a player on the bench or in the locker room?
You played. I heard tons of stuff,
the craziest? I don't even know. I mean, thinking of, you know, John Stevens coming, ripping guys, new assholes.
Lavi used to come in with some.
Wasn't calling guys out so much, I don't feel. But maybe. I can't really remember.
Now, I remember Homer coming in.
Oh, with a stick?
With a stick, and he didn't just give it to one guy. He gave it to every single guy, no matter what. It didn't matter if you fought three times. He still had something to say to you.
He couldn't leave
a guy out, but I would think, to me, the craziest was, I remember the lockout year, I believe, and we didn't play the greatest, and you guys used to come in the door, and this is at the Spectrum, and hand me your stick and put it on the wall. I think we were going somewhere after, and I turned to move a couple of the sticks, and the door flew open, almost took my head off, and I jumped back, and it's Homer, and I had a stick in my hand, and he just jerked it right out of my hand and went right in the room, and he had that thing in your guy's face, every guy right around the room, and just burying guys.
Ruthless.
That's probably one of the craziest. I can't think of any coaches that I remember totally calling a guy out unless they pulled him in the office and you could hear him screaming.
Yeah.
But I think that he was the GM then, Homer, and that was one of the craziest things I saw. And I saw that a few times.
Yeah, no, for sure. And things have changed, obviously, you know, even in the last 10, 12, 15 years than it was, back in the day when you had guys like Mike Keenan floating around and Pat Burns and, you know, some of these guys that were really, really demeaning almost, right? And they would just say anything because it was a different time back then. But certainly some tongue lashings, but nothing I didn't think that was overly aggressive, at least in my in my perspective.
Not that I can't remember. I remember Mike Keenan, my dad, telling me the one, and there were a few Ilka Sinisalo stories.
Oh yeah.
But there was one where, you know, they had been playing well, they were losing a game, and he kind of went around the room like Clarkie would do, because that's where Homer kind of got it from. Him and Clarkie both would do it. And he said to Ilka, he's like, "In Sinisalo, how do you have 9 goals or 10 goals already?" And he was like, "Power play, Mike."
Yeah, right. Yeah, know,
like
of
he
course.
Always had something to say back. But that was probably the craziest I've seen, was when I saw Homer do it, and Clarkie a couple times.
Yeah. And just the look on Homer's face is
scary.
They don't say anything.
He probably didn't need to talk.
Yeah, he didn't even need to talk. Stand there with a stick, and he got the message.
There was a story where he came in the room when my dad was there, and I was a kid, but he came in and used to break sticks, right? So he had it. He grabbed a stick and he came in the room, and I can't remember if it was Doug Crossman or who it was, but Chief told us a story where. He like reached down and grabbed his helmet,
the bucket,
and put his helmet on because you know Homer starts swinging the stick, shrapnel. But I wasn't there to witness that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate your questions.
Yes,
be sure to send them in Twitter, Instagram. We obviously love hearing from you, and if you're liking what you see, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, like and subscribe.
Yes.
And follow us on all social media. Until next week, Nast.
Number 92.
92.
Coming up.
We'll see you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.